स्मरन् मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मायां ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयथापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहागना रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजैवं सद्वायतं सवदूतं पर्जनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखानितंश्च हे कृष्णकरणसिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकण्ठ राधाकण्ठ नमस्तते सप्तकञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चकौपातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयैव च पतितनां पवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Do we need to translate?
Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2. Chapter 2, text number 71. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Pumam charati nishpriya. Pumam charati nishpriha. Nirmamo nirahankara. Nirmamo nirahankara. Sashantim adigachati. Sashantim adigachati. Vihaya kamanya sarvan. Pumam charati nishpriha. Nirmamo nirahankara. Sashantim adigachati. Vihaya kamanya sarvam. Pumam charati nishpriha. Nirmamo nirahankara. Sashantim adigachati.
Ego. He alone can attain real peace. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To become desireless means not to desire anything for sense gratification. In other words, desire for becoming Krishna conscious is actually desirelessness. To understand one's actual position as the eternal servitor of Krishna, without falsely claiming this material body to be oneself, and without falsely claiming proprietorship over anything in the world, is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. One who is situated in this perfect stage knows that because Krishna is the proprietor of everything, everything must be used for the satisfaction of Krishna. Arjuna did not want to fight for his own sense satisfaction, but when he became fully Krishna conscious, he fought because Krishna wanted him to fight. For himself, there was no desire to fight, but for Krishna, the same Arjuna fought to his best ability. Real desirelessness is desire for the satisfaction of Krishna, not an artificial attempt to abolish desires. The living entity cannot be desireless or senseless, but he does have to change the quality of the desires. A materially desireless person certainly knows that everything belongs to Krishna. Ishavashyam idam sarvam. And therefore, he does not falsely claim proprietorship over anything. This transcendental knowledge is based on self-realization, namely, knowing perfectly well that every living entity is an eternal part and parcel of Krishna in spiritual identity, and that the eternal position of the living entity is therefore never on the level of Krishna or greater than him. This understanding of Krishna consciousness is the basic principle of real peace. Translation again. A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So, much earlier on in this chapter, Arjuna had asked a question to Lord Krishna. He wanted to know how to recognize when a person is actually in transcendental consciousness. And Lord Krishna, in replying to this question, he explained many different qualities of a person who is freed from the influence of the material energy. So here also, Lord Krishna is summarizing what he has explained to Arjuna. The basic point is that one has to be free of this possessive nature, this idea of thinking, this is mine. This is the basic principle of ahankar. And this ahankar brings us deeper and deeper into the bondage of the material world and causes us to take birth again and again. Ahankar means, first of all, to think aham, I am this body. Then, when we are in this consciousness that I am this body, from aham, it becomes mamiti. The next step is mamiti. This is mine. This belongs to me. Particularly in married life, we think, you know, the wife will say, he's mine. And the husband will say, she's mine. Both the man and the woman are thinking, they belong to me. They're mine. This proprietorship. We think this is my home. We think this is my country. I belong here. This is ahankar. This is a feeling of being the proprietor. Because this belongs to me, therefore it's for my enjoyment. What is actually ours? Nothing is actually ours. Prabhupada was in Mayapur one time. The life member came, one of our supporters of the Hare Krishna movement. He came to Mayapur. So he was able to meet with Prabhupada. So Prabhupada talked to him. He said to him, what business are you doing? He says, oh, Swamiji, I have a factory. I have a glass factory. We're making glass. So Prabhupada said to him, oh, how do you make the glass? And then the man said, well, we get the silicone and we make this, we use sand to make the silicone and then we make glass. And then Prabhupada said to him, oh, where do you get the sand from? And the man says, well, we have a mine. We get the sand from the mine. Prabhupada said, yes, but who is giving the mine? Whose mine is it? The man said, it's our mine, our company's mine. But Prabhupada said, no, it can't be your mine, right? It couldn't be your mine. Who put the mine there? And so then the man understood Prabhupada's point. And he said, well, Swamiji, everything belongs to God. Huh? Prabhupada said, oh, everything belongs to God. But you're taking the sand. So another devotee was there. He said, what do you think? Prabhupada turned to the devotee and said, what do you think of this? He is taking the sand. The devotee immediately said, thief, Prabhupada, he's a thief. Yeah, he said, he's a thief, sure. He's taking what does not belong to him, right? So, Prabhupada turned to the man, he said, he says, you are a thief. So the man said, oh, but Swamiji, I also give donation to the temple. So Prabhupada said, oh, then you're only a little thief. So like this, actually, there are so many thieves in this world. Another time, Prabhupada was on the morning walk in America. He was in the city of Dallas, Texas. And they were walking in the big park. So from the park, they could see one very big house, big mansion-like house. So the devotees were telling Prabhupada, they said, Prabhupada, in that house, there is one of the richest men in America. And he owns oil mines, Prabhupada. He owns oil mines. He's drilling oil out of the earth. He's very, very rich. He said, Prabhupada, we were trying to preach to him. Prabhupada said, oh, really? You were trying to preach to him? He said, if you get to see him, what are you going to preach to him? So then the devotees didn't really have a very clear idea exactly what they were going to preach to him. So one devotee said, we will tell him he's not the body. Prabhupada said, do you think he'll be interested? So some other devotee said, we will tell him to surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada said, do you think that will be enough? That will convince him? Prabhupada said, you should tell him he is a big thief. Simply tell him he is a big thief. He is taking what does not belong to him for his own sense gratification. And he will have to suffer for this. Prabhupada quotes from the Ishopanishad, Isavashyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat tena chatena bhunjadaha magridaha kashasvedanam. Everything animate and inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should accept, therefore, only what is set aside as his quota, and one should not accept more than that, because it all belongs to God. When we take more than our quota, then that is sinful, and we have to suffer for that. Lord Krishna is explaining this same point to Arjuna, that if we maintain even the desire, if we think even in our mind to have more than what is actually necessary for us, it will cause us to be disturbed in our mind. We will not be peaceful. If our mind is not peaceful, we will never be happy. There is no possibility of happiness without peace. So it is very important for us to understand this point here, which is made this evening, how to be peaceful. We have to control the mind. We have to understand what is the quality of our desire. Prabhupada explains, we cannot be without desire. We cannot be desireless. That is artificial. Sometimes people, you know, the impersonalists, Mayavadis, they say it is all one. Everything is illusion. The material world is all illusion. Only the Brahman is truth. They talk like this, but they cannot apply this philosophy. They are saying everything is illusion, there is only oneness. But when they try to practice that, they cannot. Just like in our temple in Vrindavan one time, one of these Mayavadi, one of these people who think that they are God, that they can become the Supreme. They think everything is one, and material world is all illusion. So they came to the temple, and we were distributing prasadam. There was khichdi prasadam, and they were giving for everybody. But this one devotee who was serving the prasad, he came to this Mayavadi guy, and he gave him one grain of rice. So the man looked, hey, come on, why are you giving me only so little, one grain? He said, oh, it's all one. It's all one, Prabhu. Everything is one, right? This is your philosophy. Advaita, you're saying it's all one. If I give you this much or that much, what's the difference? It's all one. The guy was not happy, you know. He said, look, I came here to eat, you know, just give me prasad. Another time, they were giving the blanket. It was very cold in Vrindavan, Uttar Pradesh, UP, near Delhi. Can get very cold in the winter. So they were giving free blankets to the sadhus. So one Mayavadi guy came, he wanted a blanket also. So they said, okay, here, take this. We gave him one thread, one piece of cotton, one thread of cotton. He said, what's this? You know, what's this? We said, this is just like a blanket, Prabhu. One thread and one blanket. It's all one, right? You're saying everything is one. It's all the same, no different. So here, take this thread. You know, the guy, he said, please, just give me a blanket. He didn't want to argue. He just wanted. So you see, this is the foolishness of this Mayavada philosophy, to think that everything is one. It is not one. There is a difference. In the same way, there's a difference in quality of desire. Understand, there's a difference in quality of desire. We can desire for material, and we can also desire for spirit. When we desire for the body and the things in relation to this body, that is material. And when we desire in relation to Krishna and Krishna's service, that is spiritual. We have to change the quality of desire. We cannot stop desire. We cannot make the mind empty. We cannot make the mind blank. We have to put something there. So put the good things there. Put the good thoughts there. Desire for Krishna, for Krishna's service. Because when we're connected with Krishna, we will be purified by that connection. Lord Krishna is antiseptic and prophylactic. Just like you have some disease, you have some infection, you put the antiseptic ointment and it cures. So Lord Krishna is antiseptic. If we keep Him with us, we will purify all the contamination in the heart, in the mind. Within our heart, within the mind, we have lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. These different qualities are there within us. The enemies are there. We have to purify them. Just like before Lord Krishna took birth, six sons of Devaki were killed, one after another. These six sons represent the different enemies of Krishna. They're removed. When these things are removed, then pure Krishna consciousness can be established. So we want to do the same thing on our own heart. We want to pull out all the dirty things from this heart by Krishna consciousness, by purification of our existence. This purification comes about by devotional service, particularly through the nine angas of bhakti: shravanam, kirtan, smaranam, vandanam, archanam, dashyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. These are the different angas of bhakti. Especially, we have to concentrate on Shravanam and Kirtan. These are the most important, and these are the most powerful for purifying our existence. Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago to teach all of us how to engage in devotional service in this Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga, we are not very much endowed. We don't have good qualities in the Kali Yuga. Not only us, nobody has good qualities in the Kali Yuga. This whole world is all full of conditioned souls. And everyone is feeling the influence of this age of Kali Yuga. Vyasadeva has described the qualities. Prayena kauyusa sabya kalovasmin yugejana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagyahi upadrutaha. Vyasadeva is describing the qualities of people in the Kali Yuga. First of all, we only have a short life. We're not going to live a long time. Not like in other ages. We have a short life. We have to make the best use of it. The best use of a bad bargain. The best use is not in simply being the slave of our own mind and senses. People think they are free to eat anything and drink anything. They think this is freedom. to eat all disgusting, unclean, impure foods, and to drink all kinds of intoxication and contaminated things. But this is not freedom. This is their ignorance. This is their illusion. And this is just simply due to their to the fact that they are under the control of their own mind and senses. They are not acting as Goswami, they are acting as Godas, the servant of the senses. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to teach all of us to conquer over the mind and senses through Sri Krishna Sankirtan. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtan. The chanting of the holy name, the Sankirtan, which you've been performing this evening and every Sunday evening, is very powerful. It purifies the mind. It satisfies the heart. It gives us the pleasure for which we are always anxious. It takes our attraction away from the temporary, material, mundane world. And it gives us a chance to become situated in real spiritual consciousness, that we are not the body, that we are a soul, a pure soul. The pure ahankar is to know that I am not the body, that I am the servant of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, Jivar Swarupahai Nitya Krishna Das. We are all eternally servants of Krishna. Of course, we're not direct servants of Krishna. We're tiny servants. Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasa Anudas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. We are the servant of the servant, many times the servant of that Supreme Lord Krishna. But that is a glorious position. To be the servant of Lord Krishna, that is the most wonderful position. Because the Lord wants to serve His devotees. Krishna is the servant of His devotees. Who is in the devotee's heart? Lord Krishna. And who is in Krishna's heart? The devotees. Yeah, the devotees are in the heart of Lord Krishna. Krishna cares so much for His devotees. Anyone who calls His name even one time, Krishna becomes obliged to that person. And He will make all arrangements to again bring them closer, to bring them back home, back to Godhead. So today, we want to also speak about a very insignificant event in Krishna consciousness, which took place in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that was the Shiradahi festival at Panihati. Because that Panihati festival is coming tomorrow, is it? Tomorrow is the Panihati festival. Panihati is a place in West Bengal, not far away from Calcutta, about 1 hour only. You can go from Calcutta to Panihati. And it's a very important place, right on the banks of the Ganges. I had the opportunity to go there in the 1970s with Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada went there. One man was interested to donate some land. Prabhupada went there to see it. It didn't happen, but Prabhupada was interested. Somehow, you know, often people came, they wanted to donate land to Prabhupada, but there was always some, often there was some catch, you know, some problem. Anyway, we went there to Panihati, and Prabhupada told us this is a very important holy place for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, and also Lord Nityananda had some pastimes there. Panihati is also the home of a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghava Pandit. If you go to Panihati today, you can still see the home of Raghava Pandit there. And you can see also the deity he worshipped. You can see also some of the foodstuffs which he used to prepare. Raghava Pandit had one sister called Damayanti. And Damayanti was a wonderful, wonderful cook. And she used to prepare, along with her brother, they would prepare foodstuffs. And whenever the devotees would go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was every year, they would go to attend Rath Yatra. That time, they would prepare the Raghava Jili, a big sack of foodstuffs of all different preparations to be given to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very special foodstuffs. Not only sweets and savory, but they would have also things like the mud of the Ganga. And they would take the mud of the Ganga and they would filter it and they would sift it and they would dry it and they would, prepare it for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he could also relish the taste of the Ganga, the mud of the Ganga. So they would carry these things to Jagannath Puri, and although they were carried there, it takes some weeks to go there, still nothing would decay. The Raghava Pandit and his sister Damayanti were so expert cooks that everything they prepared would remain fresh and nutritious, just as the day they made it. So their home is there in Panihati. 500 years back, Lord Nityananda Prabhu came there. Now Lord Nityananda had been sent to Bengal by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was told to preach there. So Nityananda was traveling around with his sakhas, the cowherd boys who were all engaged with him in spreading the Nam Sankirtan. On this particular day at Panihati, while Lord Nityananda was there, sitting on a rock surrounded by his devotees, at that time, Raghunath Das came there. Raghunath was the son of Govardhan Majumdar, and he had an uncle called Hiranya Majumdar. So Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar were very, very rich, wealthy landowners. They were collecting a lot of money and taxes from people. They were very aristocratic, wealthy people. Raghunath was brought up in this family. They were, however, both Govardhan and Hiranya Majumdar were Vaishnavas. Not very elevated Vaishnavas, but they were giving a lot of charity. They were giving dan to the Brahmana Vaishnavas. And practically they were maintaining all of the Vaishnavas in that community, in that part of Bengal at that particular time. So they were very wealthy and they were very generous people. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how they brought Haridas Thakur to their home and some Brahmana insulted Haridas Thakur. And when this Brahmana, who was a priest in their home, insulted Haridas Thakur, then they immediately sacked that Brahmana. They sent him away. They said, "Don't stay here, we don't want you in this house, get out." They were so upset that they could bring a great devotee like Haridas Thakur to their home to be insulted. So this was a kind of home which Raghunath was brought up in. Now, Raghunath was attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Raghunath Das was about the same age as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just a little younger. So he had heard about the different childhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu, how as a young man, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had defeated the great scholar Keshava Kashmiri. He had heard how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had led all the devotees against the Chankazi when the Chankazi tried to stop the Sankirtan movement. Nimai Pandit, as he was known at that time, led a revolution against the Chankazi and got permission for the Sankirtan movement. So Raghunath Das had heard all of this, and he had also heard how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas and renounced the world and gone off to Jagannath Puri. Now, Raghunath Das, because he was brought up in this wealthy family, he also wanted to become very devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to go and be with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But his family would not allow it. The family are very attached to the son. You know, if you have a son, you know, people are very attached. They want to keep the son with them. They won't let the son leave home. You know, the son is putra, right? Supposed to deliver the father. But they think, yes, he should deliver me, but let him stay here and deliver me. Don't let him go. So to keep him at home, they got him married to a very beautiful young woman. A woman who was as beautiful as the goddess of fortune. And they had wealth in the home. The home was as wealthy as Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. But still, although so much wealth and such a beautiful wife was there, Raghunath Das was not happy. He could not be peaceful in such an environment. And he longed to leave that home and go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But whenever he ran away, they would send men. They had many workers, many servants, and they would send their people, go, bring Raghunath back immediately. Go and catch our son. Go and find him. Bring him home. They were thinking to tie him up. They said, maybe if we put chains on him, we can keep him here. But they said, he already has a wife like Lakshmi. He has wealth like Kuvera. What good will chains be? They understood it. No point to chain him up, you know. Anyway, Raghunath Das came to Panihati on the occasion. Lord Nityananda was there. And when Lord Nityananda saw Raghunath, he recognized him because they were well known. Their family were well known to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda immediately recognized Raghunath. And he said, oh, there is Raghunath. Lord Raghunath was sitting far away. He felt too fallen and he was so humble. He didn't like to come close. However, Lord Nityananda called out and said, Raghunath, you're like a thief. You like to keep far away. And this way, Lord Nityananda went and forcibly brought him and placed his lotus feet on the head of Raghunath. And he told Raghunath, he said, today I am going to punish you. The punishment is you have to make a feast for all of my followers. Lord Nityananda had come with all of his kirtan party, all of his sakkas, and he ordered Raghunath, make a feast for all the devotees. So this was very pleasing to Raghunath. When Raghunath heard this, he was very happy. So he immediately arranged. He said, go to the village, bring everything, bring all the vendors. We want to purchase everything. And they got all the shira, and all the dahi, and all the condensed milk, and all the banana, everything which was available there in the market. Even many vendors came and brought their goods. They heard, there's a big feast going on, Mahotsava. They all came with their goods. Raghunath purchased everything. He wanted to make a nice feast. He purchased earthen pots, the clay pots.
and he had hundreds of clay pots. And then he got several very big, large clay pots, the biggest size pots. And he filled them with Ganges water. The biggest pots he filled with Ganga Jal. And then they put the flat rice, the shira, into the Ganga water. And this way they washed the rice. And then they gave everyone two pots. Everyone gets two clay pots. And in one clay pot, they mixed shira with dahi. And the other clay pot, they mixed shira with condensed milk. And then there were also bananas and whatever else was available in the marketplace. And everyone was sitting all over the place. Even there was no space to sit on the land. Some people were standing in the Ganga, and they were having their pots, taking the prasadam in the Ganga, up to the water, up to their knees in water, and standing there with their clay pots to eat prasadam. So many people were there. And Raghunath was arranging all of this distribution of prasadam. And he gave very special for Lord Nityananda. And then Lord Nityananda, by his spiritual potency, he called Lord Chaitanya to come there. Not everyone could see Lord Chaitanya. Only those who were blessed with divine vision could see the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that place. It is said, Lord Chaitanya would appear wherever Lord Nityananda danced, wherever Mother Sachi cooked, and wherever Raghava Pandit cooked. Different places Lord Chaitanya would always manifest by his spiritual potency. So Nityananda brought Lord Chaitanya to this place at Panihati. And together, the two of them went around and they were distributing, they were putting prasadam in the mouths of all of the different devotees. They were feeding little pieces of prasadam into each devotee's mouth. Finally, after feeding all the devotees prasadam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they sat down and they took prasadam. The remnants of their prasadam was then given to Raghunath. Raghunath took some of the prasadam and then he distributed also to the devotees. He did not think, I will just eat the remnants myself. But he was so merciful, he distributed to all of the other people there. Even the vendors who were selling the food, they also got prasadam. Even the dogs did not go hungry. Everyone, every living entity was satisfied with Krishna prasadam. It was a very wonderful festival. And to this day, on tomorrow is that day, there is a festival every year on this particular day at Panihati. You know, the nature of places in India and especially in Bengal is that it seems like nobody's there. But whenever there's a festival, everybody appears. Thousands of people all appear from nowhere, you know, because they know if they will come there on this day, there's going to be prasadam for everyone. Many different groups all come and distribute prasadam. We also, ISKCON, we have a big booth there. We take many, many sacks of shira dahi. We distribute everybody for hours and hours. There's also kirtan. There's pravachan. A lot of nice devotional activities going on in this holy place. So, after this festival, Lord Nityananda then blessed Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das, I was explaining that he desired to get free from his material entanglement. He was not satisfied to simply live in the home of some wealthy family, to live comfortably. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna also tells us, the danger of an easygoing life with sense gratification. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam. Vayavasayatmika buddhi samado na vidiyate. That if we are attached to material opulence and sense gratification, we cannot have determination which is necessary for devotional service. To engage in devotional service, we have to be detached from the material situation. So Raghunath Das was very disturbed in his material situation. He wanted to get free, so he came to Lord Nityananda. And after, first of all, he gave some gold and gold, different coins. He gave some financial donation to Lord Nityananda, not directly to Lord Nityananda. He gave it to Lord Nityananda's secretary or treasurer and said, later, after I've gone, you give this to Lord Nityananda. But he came to Lord Nityananda and he wanted blessing. And he asked Lord Nityananda, please bless me that I can be freed from this material life. Now earlier, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not given this blessing to Raghunath. Earlier, Raghunath Das had asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also to free him from the bondage of material life, to take him out of his home and liberate him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't talk like a foolish person. Don't try to be artificially renounced. He told him, remain in your situation for the time being. Later, you can be detached. So, again, Raghunath Das had such a strong desire to be freed, he requested Lord Nityananda, please bless me. And Lord Nityananda did. He told him that do not worry, that very soon you are going to be liberated from this material existence. You will be able to get away from your family situation. You will be able to go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to be a direct associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with this blessing from Lord Nityananda, Raghunath Das felt very satisfied in his mind. However, he did not immediately see the opportunity to get free. He did not enter his own home. He would simply sleep in the Durga Mandap. He would sleep in the courtyard of his home. He would remain there and sleep there in this courtyard of his house. Now, it happened early one morning, Raghunath Das's spiritual master. His spiritual master was known by the name Yadunandan Acharya. Yadunandan Acharya was initiated by Advaita Acharya. So he was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. And Yadunandan Acharya also had the blessings from Vasudev Datta. Vasudev Datta was not a Brahmana, but he was a great devotee, and he had also given blessing and given instruction to this Yadunandan Acharya. So Yadunandan Acharya had blessings from both Vasudev Datta and Advaita Acharya. He was a great devotee, and he was the family guru of Raghunath Das. He was their family guru. So he came there early one morning to seek the help of Raghunath because they needed the pujari. Some pujari had gone away from his seva to serve the deities. So they wanted to bring Raghunath, they wanted Raghunath to go and find the pujari and bring him back to do the deity seva. So Raghunath Das agreed and he told his guru, he said, you don't have to worry, I will take care of this. I will go to find him and bring him that he does the seva. So Raghunath Das, after leaving the home, then he thought within his mind that now is a good time to escape from my home. It is early in the morning. Everyone is still asleep. Now I can make a good escape. And he was very clever also. He knew that when they understand that I have gone away from home, they will immediately go and look for me. So when they go to look for me, they will think that I have gone to join all the devotees who were led by Shivananda Sen, who are walking to Jagannath Puri. They will think I've gone to join them. So I won't go on the same route they're going. I'll go on another route. So this way Raghunath Das didn't go on the main route to Puri. Instead he went from village to village, through the woods, across the jungles, different ways, back roads to get to Jagannath. In this way he was able to escape. When his family understood that Raghunath is gone, they immediately sent 10 men, go and find Shivananda Sen and his party. Our son must be there, bring him back. The 10 men went, but they found Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen told them, Raghunath's not here, we never saw him, we don't know anything. The 10 men came back. His family were very disappointed. They understood Raghunath has been very cunning. He has gone alone somewhere. So when they returned from Jagannath Puri, then they asked, did you see our son Raghunath there in Jagannath Puri? And they said, yes, we did indeed see your son in Jagannath Puri. He has become one of the most renowned devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he was born in so much opulence, although he had so much facility for material enjoyment, he was not interested in it. Raghunath Das walked to Jagannath Puri. It took him 12 days. From those 12 days, he only ate food 3 days. All the other days he was fasting. But he did not feel any hunger because he was so much absorbed in the thought. He was so full of the spiritual bliss, the thought of being in the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. He did not mind any physical discomfort. When he came to Jagannath Puri, then Lord Chaitanya recognized him and he blessed him. He put him in the care of Swarup Damodara Goswami. Swarup Damodara Goswami was the personal secretary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swarup Damodara Goswami in Krishna Leela is the Gopi Vishaka. The Gopi Lalita. Ramananda Rai is the Gopi Vishaka and Swarup Damodara Goswami is the Gopi Lalita Sakhi. So Raghunath Das was given the job of being the assistant of Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was personally connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Raghunath Das came there in Jagannath Puri, he used to get his food. In the beginning, he would get his food by standing at the gate of the temple and begging some prasad from the different people coming from the temple. He did this for some time. After some time, he then asked Swarup Damodar. He asked Swarup Damodar, what is my duty? How should I live? How should I practice? What should be my service here? He did not directly approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was so humble, he did not directly go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to ask what his service should be. He asked Swarup Damodar Goswami. However, Swarup Damodar Goswami went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told Mahaprabhu, Raghunath wants to know what his service should be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he can know everything from you. You are very qualified. You can explain everything. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave some instruction. He said, from what I have understood, that he should not associate with worldly-minded people. He should not hear mundane topics, what is called gramya katha, the village talk. In the village, people, how are they talking? They're talking about each other. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know what happened to this person? Like this, talking about each other. This is village talk, gramya katha. So Lord Chaitanya instructed Mahaprabhu, do not hear this gramya katha. Just concentrate on chanting the holy name and hearing about Krishna. Do not worry about eating palatable foods. Do not be the servant of your tongue and simply go here and there to enjoy tasty foodstuffs. The tongue is the most difficult to control. Of all the senses, it is the tongue which is the most difficult to control. It is active in these two activities: tasting nice foodstuffs and speaking things. We have to control the tongue. This is very important to make progress in spiritual life. We have to use the tongue to chant the names of Krishna and to taste the food offered to Krishna. When you can do these two things, then we can have a peaceful mind. If we eat food cooked by materialistic people, it will also influence the quality of our desire. And when we hear village talk, when we hear talks about other mundane affairs, our mind will also be disturbed. It is very important, if we want to keep the mind peaceful, do not hear gramya katha, do not just run here and there to eat palatable foodstuffs. And Raghunath Das was also told that he should not worry about wearing fine clothes also, but he should accept the dress of a mendicant, Babaji. Raghunath Das accepted loincloths, ragged pieces of cloth, for his own dress. So Raghunath Das Goswami lived there in Vrindavan and became exceptionally renowned. Because remember, he was blessed by Lord Nityananda. Sometimes we say, it's very difficult to get the mercy of Krishna. But the representative of Krishna is more merciful. Love of Krishna. Krishna does not easily give devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not immediately tell Raghunath, yes, go out, run away from home. He told him, don't act like a sahajya. Don't be foolish. Behave properly. Stay in your position and behave properly. In due course of time, you can renounce. So in Krishna consciousness also, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. We do not encourage people to suddenly change their ashrams and to give up responsibilities. But there's a proper system for gradually detaching ourselves from the material existence. We have to purify ourselves and prepare ourselves to detach ourselves from the material world. And that preparation is devotional service. By regularly hearing and chanting and associating with devotees, we can become fixed in Krishna consciousness. We do not expect any of us to imitate Raghunath Das Goswami. Raghunath Das Goswami lived there in Vrindavan.